Thank you so much, Tim, and a very warm welcome to you all as well from myself. My name's David, as Tim said, and I'm the pastor here, and it's a great privilege to have you here on this special evening. And I just want to take a few moments to reflect on this amazing message that we've been singing about in the carols and that we've been hearing about in our readings. And just as I do that, I'd love to pray that God would meet with us, as Tim said right at the start, and draw near as we seek to hear something of his message to us tonight. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Dear God, I thank you that you want us to know you. That is why you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. So please, in this moment, I pray, help us understand something more about you and about ourselves as we reflect on the Christmas story. Amen. Well, I don't know what your expectations are as you come here tonight, whether you've come a bit like the friends that used to come from my old workplace, an engineering firm I worked at. They used to call it karaoke carols. They kind of love singing along to the carols. Or whether you've come because you know someone in the choir, and just so good to have you leading us and looking forward to you giving a word or a song after this. Or whether you know one of the children who's been singing for us, or maybe you've just come because you usually come at this time of the year. So I don't know what your expectations are as you come. But what we've been singing about and hearing about in the readings is something that is causing people to rejoice all over the world. So maybe there's something in this message that is actually very, very powerful. Something that could mean that your life could be transformed this Christmas time. Maybe even something that you could hear tonight could make a difference for the rest of your life. And I know that one of the things in the last couple of weeks that's really inspired me is that I was chatting to a friend, part of the church, and he was telling me something of his story, and I thought, you know what, that would be great for the people at the Candlelight to hear. So I want to thank Alistair, and I'm just going to come down for being willing to share his story. And he first came on one of these Candlelight evenings. So can we put our hands together for Alistair? And I'm just going to come sit down next to him. Thank you very much for being willing to do this. Great, Alistair. Well, I just wonder if you could tell us, how did you first come to Holland Road, and how did you find it when you came?
Well, I was being discharged from hospital, and one of the staff there invited me along to Holland Road Baptist Church, and I agreed to come. Now, 2 days beforehand, I had a timely reminder. I had a letter through the door, and I thought, okay, I'll come along. But I was very sceptical because I'd just spent a year and a half in hospital, been put in a wheelchair, and I was very angry with the world and very resentful and wary of people. And when I come to Holland Road, things completely changed my life. I've come, I was very sceptical at first and very wary. But the whole place was a euphoria of peace and happiness. And they'd all come, young and old, all different nationalities, to do the same thing. Pray for the birth of Jesus Christ. And it was fantastic. They were all like a community come together, and they were so happy and joyful.
And so as you came, Alistair, what changed in the months after that, or even on that night?
Well, that night, during the service, I broke down in tears, and I don't know why, and I couldn't stop. Now, as you know, at the end of the service, you said a prayer for me because I was going to hospital the next day. And I was admitted to hospital for another operation, which I was not looking forward to. And that night I cried out to the Lord. And the next day the consultant said I didn't need the operation, I could go home. And I spent Christmas at home. And that Christmas I was given a Bible. And instead of reading, watching television, I read the Bible. And the more and more I got into it, the more and more I understood it. And the coming months and that, I started coming on and off to church, but I was still sceptical about the situation. But one day I was watching a programme on television while having my tea, and I just stopped watching the programme, and he came to me. I've got a roof over my head, food in the cupboard, what more do I need? And I had to let the anger out before I could let the love of God in. And that's what I did. And now I come regularly to church. I've been baptised and it's completely changed my life.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Alistair. I don't know what you've come full of tonight. Whether you've come full of anger, like Alistair did that first night, whether full of pain through what you're going through, whether you're just full of endless lists. Maybe you're a mum and you're trying to finish getting everything ready. Maybe you're full of pride. It's been a good year. Or maybe you're just feeling like you're full of self-pity. We used to say in our family over Christmas time that that was one of the worst, deadliest diseases, self-pity. But you know, this little babe in a manger, this little babe can transform situations. And interestingly, isn't it, that verse that was read for us in Luke 2, verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn, wrapped him in cloths, and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And, you know, I often think about those innkeepers and I can imagine them saying, sorry, we're full. You know, sorry, we're full. Maybe you've done a nativity play, kids, and that you were one of those innkeepers. Sorry, we're full. And close the door in someone's face. And we sometimes do that, don't we? We kind of, maybe even for legitimate reasons, we think, you know what? My life's too full. But here's the wonderful thing. Someone opened their doors, even to the stable, and said, hey, you can come in here. And I bet those innkeepers, if they'd known that all around the world, 2,000 years later, people would be remembering the manger, I bet those innkeepers would have thought, you know what, however full our lives are or full the inn is of legitimate things, we'll make some space for this special child. You know, I bet the owner, if he could realize now of some of those inns, would have thought, you know what, sleep in my bed and I'll just stand and watch this wonderful moment. Because here's the thing. That babe that was about to be born to Mary and Joseph on that special night was far more precious than any of us could ever even begin to imagine if we spent the rest of our lives thinking about it. So I want to do in these few short moments just say something about why I think it's worth us making room for Jesus. When I was thinking about this night and just what to speak on many months back, actually, I decided that I was going to speak on that verse, Luke 2, verse 7. And then I was walking along the seafront with some friends. And one of them said, oh, David, I saw something on Pinterest, the social media site that I thought you might be interested in. This is what came up on her kind of iPhone as she passed it over to me. And she says this, each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus. Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus. So let me ask you this evening, why would we want to make room for Jesus? When our lives are often so full of other things, maybe some good things, maybe some not so good things. Why would we want to make room for Jesus? Well, Jesus said this amazing thing. He said, I have come that you and I might have life and have it to the full. Isn't that amazing? So even though your life might seem full at the moment, there's a difference between a full life and life to the full. In fact, sometimes our lives can be full of all kinds of things, even legitimate good things like business and family things and sorting everything out. But if we're missing Jesus, we're missing the most wonderful thing that actually brings fullness of life. And the Christmas message is that God wants to draw near to us in the person of Jesus, that we might have life to the full. But I think it's sometimes not just the fullness and the busyness of life that means we kind of push others out and even push God out and say, too much going on. I think there's something a bit more profound sometimes going on, a bit deeper in us. And I was walking along Western Street, I walk backwards and forwards there because I live just close by here as well. And as I was walking, I noticed a chalk drawing at the top of Brunswick Square. Maybe you've noticed it as well. It's a guy called Nick. Chatted to him, and he's very happy for me to use this tonight. He knows what we're talking about. And one of the things that really struck me was in this chalk drawing that now the rain has swept away. It was like a compass, and on this compass, instead of north and south, it had good and evil, and instead of east and west, it had love, and guess what it had on the other side of love? Maybe you can read it even here. Maybe you've noticed it or walked past it. It didn't have what you might imagine, hate. It had fear. Isn't that interesting? In fact, Nick said that you might assume that hate is the opposite of love, but actually he said it's fear that stops us opening up our lives to others. I thought, wow, Nick knows something about people. Nick knows something about me. Because though I often might say, well, my life's too full, even as the pastor, I might say that for God. I haven't got space or time or for others. Actually, sometimes it's fear of, do I have capacity? I don't have capacity for my problems, let alone your problems. Or I don't know what's going to happen if I let you into my life, whether that's someone else and I welcome them in, even just for a day or a meal, or whether that's God himself. And as I was thinking about this, I remember a film I saw. It's a great film for all the family, a film called Up. It's quite moving. It's a kind of a Pixar Disney film. And in it, there's this guy who's you see him just as a child to begin with. And then he meets the kind of girl he's going to spend a sort of life with, or so he thinks. And they marry. And the first kind of 10 minutes, this very moving story of this guy who then, unfortunately, his wife dies. And you're only 10 minutes into the film. And there is this now old man. And the rest of the film is going to be what happens in his life. And you're meeting him here, and he's a bit grumpy. And actually, there's been a lot of pain. And he doesn't really want others to come into his life. But there's a knock on the door. And here we go. I think the video clip's just coming up.
Order now. You get the camera. You get the printer. 4X optical zoom. Schneider lens. Photo printer. SD card.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your porch.
No.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
No, I'm doing fine.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Slow down.
Sweat Lodge 12.
Kid!
Are you in need of
any
assistance?
Thank you, but I don't need any help.
It's quite fun, but isn't it amazing that we often do that, even with God? Thank you. But I don't need any help. And you know, God is nothing like that little boy. Jesus, when he came to earth, was so amazingly wise that people have been talking about his teachings for all the time since he came. He said things like, do to others as you would have them do to you. What a wonderful way to live life. You know, Jesus was so compassionate that he would reach out to people like lepers who were outcasts in society, and he would touch them, and he would embrace them and draw them into community. And his model and example has inspired so many good things that go on in our city and our nation and in the nations. And Jesus was so powerful that just with a word, He healed people. In fact, he went to this girl's house who had died, and with a word, he brought her back to life. And is it any wonder that when Jesus was walking the earth, crowds flocked to him? He is good news. He is one who taught us not just that we could be right with one another. And I've been so inspired afresh by the stories and the legacy of Nelson Mandela, one who taught us to overcome our fears and move towards those who'd even maybe have hurt us and love them and show them compassion. Amazing man of inspiration. And yet Jesus was one who taught us not only to move towards others and be reconciled with them, but said, look, God is moving towards us and wants to be reconciled with us. God wants to forgive us. You see, a Savior has come. That's the message of Christmas. The angel said to the shepherds, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. Someone who can come and help you. Not just get across the road. Someone who can come and help me and you with the mess we've made of the past sometimes. The things we've done that we know we shouldn't have done. The things we've done that have even hurt those closest to us. That's what the Bible calls sin. He can help us in our present situations. Whatever you're facing, when you cry out to him, he hears. Like Alistair was sharing in his story. He's one who comes and helps bring hope to the future, whatever you're facing. And he loves us more than we could ever imagine. That's why he came, and not just came into the manger, into that first Christmas, but he came onto the cross to save you and I, to die for our sins that first Easter. And he didn't stay dead, he rose again. So you and I can welcome him into our life still, that he can bring hope where it feels like there's no hope. This is good and wonderful news. But I think even when we realize that Jesus is good news, there still can be a sense of, well, you know, Jesus, I maybe get why, maybe I might want to welcome you into my life, but I'm just not sure how much room you're going to take. So just as I've got the door kind of there a little bit, can we just talk about how much room you're going to take? Because I've got a little place, maybe time on a Sunday morning or something like that I could maybe give to you, but I don't want you kind of to change too much. You know, can we welcome Jesus into our lives? Can we make room for Jesus, but let everything basically stay the same? Well, whenever someone special comes to your home, things don't stay the same. That first Christmas when Jesus came to the stable, it didn't all stay the same. We've had a number of babies born in the church recently, and you know, you ask any of the parents of particularly those having a baby for the first time, and you ask them, you know, has everything kind of stayed the same? Nothing's really changed, I bet. And oh no, everything's changed. But it's a wonderful change. And as we make room for Jesus in our lives, he needs to and he must become the focus, because he is the Savior of the world. And in fact, one of the wonderful things that Jesus does, even in our full lives, he somehow comes into our lives and he makes our capacity bigger. Our capacity for others and our capacity for God. He does something wonderful. Welcome him in and let him be the focus. But you may be just wondering tonight, well, David, that sounds great, but how do I do that? How do I make room for Jesus? Well, you know, the carols we've been singing have been giving us some clues. We just sung "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and it says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, in this world where we all mess up, where meek hearts will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Something starts in our hearts when we say, Jesus, you know what? I want you to come into my heart this Christmas. I want to make room for you. And what starts in our heart actually needs to overflow in our lives. Jesus said that whoever welcomes me, whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. Whoever serves and looks out for the stranger, those come to our city from maybe somewhere else, or the needy, whoever does shows kindness to them shows it to me. You see, how we welcome others is actually how we welcome Christ. And so this Christmas, open up your heart to Christ. And as you do that, open up your arms and your homes to others. Maybe even family members. Maybe even people you struggle with sometimes you only see at Christmas. Open up your heart. Open up your lives. And let the Christ child in. And you know, we do that just like we would our homes or our lives. We do that by saying kind of, welcome. Come in. We use our words. And prayer is simply talking rather than to one another. It's talking to God. And you can use just your own words. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. And welcome Christ in and let him then do this transforming work to help you welcome others. And I've just put together some words that I just kind of would use if I was welcoming, someone into my kind of life or home. And I've just then talked about that with Jesus to say, God, I want to welcome you in. So I've just written this, and this is a prayer that I've been praying. Jesus Christ, sorry for where I've kept you out and others out. I want to welcome you into my life. I don't want to live in fear and selfishness. I want you to come and be the focus of my life and help me welcome others. And you know, I know not just Christmas goes better when I have that heart and I pray a prayer like that, but my life goes better. So I'm just going to do that right now. I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you'd like to join me, just echo it in your heart and welcome Christ in tonight. So let's bow our heads. I'm just going to pray. If you want to open up your heart and make room for Jesus, just maybe echo these words in your heart with me. Jesus Christ, sorry for where I've kept you and others out. I want to welcome you into my life. I don't want to live in fear and selfishness. I want you to come and be the focus of my life and help me welcome others. Amen. Amen. And you know God hears it when we pray. And one of the things you can do over Christmas, like even us, to start reading stuff about, you know, the real meaning of Christmas, this Christ. Maybe read the Bible. Or I've got a great little booklet here called Why Christmas. I've got about 100 copies of these. I'd love to give them to anyone who maybe prayed that prayer or just wants to read more about this as you go. But I pray that God would bless you this Christmas amazingly. And thank you so much for coming here tonight.